Hey girl, hey! Welcome to the Empowering Women Got a Minute podcast, where we celebrate the female leaders within our community. Join our hosts, Brianna Hinkle and Jamie Crone, as we introduce you to women that are making a difference in business, health, education, nonprofits, and more. Brought to you by the creators of Prescott Woman Magazine, a bi-monthly publication celebrating women. Sponsored by Suze's Prescott Center for the Arts, providing service to community, entertainment, and resources for everything art-related. For upcoming shows and more information, visit www.pca-az.net. Today, we are talking work-life balance with Christina McClevey. Christina is a licensed professional counselor who specializes in working with children, parents, and caregivers. She provides consultation to professional caregivers focusing on self-care and grief support. Christina also writes, which is largely informed by her clinical work, and does photography on the side. Hi, Christina. We would love to take a minute to chat with you today about work-life balance. I found a quote on your website that I wanted to share with our listeners. "Not until we are lost do we begin to understand ourselves," by Henry David Thoreau. In this time of your career and life, where do you find yourself? Are you able to balance work and other parts of life?
That is something I am actively trying to strive for, is, you know, trying to have that work-life balance every single day in some form or capacity, whether that's just a few moments to do something that I enjoy or blocking off an entire day on the weekend to really lean into what I love to do.
Those are good tips. And like, you know, blocking off that day is a nice way to say no.
Yes, exactly. Stay off, yeah. But this is my day.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career and how it began?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things to my career. So my main job is I am a mental health therapist, and I've been a counselor for about a decade now. And I've worked in many different types of settings, community mental health, as a crisis counselor. I've done consulting and training, and now I have my own practice where I work with children and I also work with parents and caregivers. And so that's the counseling portion. And I'm also trying to build up a side gig, I guess you would call it, where I do writing. And so right now I write a lot about mental health and self-care, either on my blog, on Medium, and trying to build that up. And then I've been making my hobby as a doing photography as passive income as well.
Oh, that's awesome. You're very busy. Yeah.
It's fun.
But like what you said about you also enjoy the writing and photography, what do you enjoy about those creative outlets?
Just what you said, it's, you know, it helps me be creative. I'm able to tap into that creativity that maybe where I cannot as a therapist all the time. It's a way of expressing myself. Photography and writing I've loved to do since I was a child, and you don't necessarily have to get paid to enjoy doing it. You know, you can journal, you can just take photos of friends and family while you're hiking. It's just amazing. It's beautiful.
I feel like creative outlets like that are therapeutic as well, right?
Yes, very much so. I always try to tell my clients to see if there is something that they can do that they enjoy. You know, it's a form of self-care, and a lot of times having that creativity, whether that's cooking or photography or drawing, you know, just can be therapeutic because you're not doing a lot of thinking. You're not stuck in your head. You're just kind of going with emotions and being very mindful and intentional.
That's cool. So if you could start your career over again, what's a lesson that you've learned or a piece of advice that you could emphasize to yourself from the beginning?
Ooh, if I can start my career over again, I would say two sides of the same coin. Really listen to your gut and be very intentional in the decisions you're making, but at the same time, recognize that others around you that have more experience can really teach you a lot. So just balancing that out, you know, tapping into your supports and seeing how they can lift you up through your career and all that knowledge. But then at the end of the day, really listen to your internal self.
That's good advice. We all probably could have done that at the start of our careers, you know, like it is a fun question because you think, oh man, what would I tell myself? And there is a, probably a laundry list, but that one is a good point.
Yes.
So what is a typical day like for you? Where within that day do you find that work-life balance?
Oh, so since I have my own practice, I can set my own schedule. That was really important for me. So when I wake up, I try to wake up early enough where I can work out, have a really good, fulfilling breakfast, drink my coffee, and just, you know, start the day relaxed. And then during the day as I work, I've been trying to make time for lunch, like really, really focus on just eating or taking a walk and not sitting at my desk and working while I'm eating. I'm not perfect at it, but really trying to do that lunch. And then at the end of the day, I don't know, the end of the day just depends. You know, either I'm working out, if I haven't done it in the morning, just relaxing, spending time with my husband and my cat. And you're just really enjoying the end of the day and just saying like goodbye for the day.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Where do you work out, at a specific spot in town, or do you kind of do your own, or where do you like to go?
Yeah, it's a variety. I do yoga and then go to the gym. Sometimes I'll hike.
Nice. Yeah, those are good outlets. I enjoy those as well. So it's always kind of nice to have that time to do something that is also healing to your own being.
Prescott's perfect for it. Not today because it's raining.
I know. I look
at my window, I'm like, ah.
Every day. So some free advice for our listeners in a world that can sometimes feel chaotic or challenging. Can you give one piece of advice that you would have about self-care aside from exercising, art and craft, photography?
One piece of advice for self-care. I think the biggest thing is self-care can be almost anything. You don't have to spend money. It doesn't have to be, you know, the stereotype of bubbles, baths, and candles. Men can do self-care. Children can do self-care. So it can just be whatever brings you fulfillment and joy throughout the day. And that's by focusing on that and making sure that's either first or adding it in as well can help your mindset and growth. And I think that's a form of self-care.
Sponsored by Northland Cares, HIV specialty care clinic, located in both Prescott and Cottonwood. For more information, visit northlandcares.org.
And I know you work a lot with children and caregivers. Mm-hmm. And talking about self-care for children specifically, what are some cool self-care ideas that you might have to give parents for when may they need just a little bit of a moment to themselves? Not the parents, but the kids.
So self-care ideas for children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So having time to play with friends, you know, each day, or going outside. A lot of my kids that I work with will do square breathing, you know, it's like where you're breathing it, or box breathing, you know, where you breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold for 4 seconds, you breathe out for four, you pause, and then you repeat when they're feeling overwhelmed. And that's a form of self-care. enjoying activities that you love to do, crafts, like I said, mindfulness can be a form of self-care for children. Almost like anything that adults could do, I believe, you know, most of it children can do as well and make time for it. Taking breaks if they're doing homework, you know, making sure that you're having those break intervals. Maybe every 30 minutes you're setting a 10-minute break, you know, just so you're not overloaded. And asking for help and not being afraid to ask your parents for help, and the parents being open to their children asking for help.
Yeah, that's awesome, because those are some good, like you said, that's for, it doesn't have to be just for kids, but it's also can be for adults. And we need to be mindful of that too, taking those breaks and asking for help and knowing when to kind of take a little pause and maybe do some deep breathing ourselves, you know?
Yeah, and another idea also for kids is having like a sensory box, or you know, like all those fidget toys that's out there. So the poppets and fidget cubes, you know, all those different things, like having a box. And then if they're feeling overwhelmed or have high emotions, they can go into like a their bedroom or sit on a bunch of pillows and play with those, you know, fidget toys, and just having like a moment of calm. It's another idea.
That's a great idea. And then, why did you decide to focus on children and caregivers? And what modalities do you typically use for these groups? I know we talked a little bit about tips that they can use, but what do you do?
So I do play therapy for children and sand tray therapy. That's my main modality for children under 10. You know, it's a, you know, it depends. Some I do have some that like to talk more or do more mindful activities or art. And then for adults, it's a lot of mindfulness, talk therapy, you know, just, you know, supporting them on their journey. And why I decided to choose to focus on caregivers specifically is I used to be a caregiver for my mom for many years. And I realized that a lot of times I would kind of put myself to the side. And there's times where even when I set up the week where I was focusing on myself, she was always still on my mind, which is natural, you know, like appointments, meetings, or, you know, is she going to be okay? And I feel that caregivers having that extra support and a space to really just process all the responsibilities they may have and just life stressors could help them. And by them having that space, it in turn helps the person they're caring for. You know, you're putting on your own oxygen mask on first, and then you can help the other individual. And therapy is like a huge component, I believe, you know, to your wellness. And so I just wanted to give back.
Yeah, that's kind of a group that probably gets missed sometimes only because
Yeah.
they are so busy and doing so much to help support somebody else or other people that they don't always realize that they need help and support as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be really challenging. Do you work with mostly people one-on-one, or do you do group sessions with caregivers or?
Yeah, it's all one-on-one, but I am working on, because I'm transferring to being mainly online, so eventually in, you know, a few months. So I'm trying to shift some of the modalities. And so eventually I would like to do a caregiver support group or caregiver workshops. And then another subset of my business that I'm also trying to build up is the consultation piece. So that's where I would ideally, you know, maybe go into nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and work with professional caregivers and do consultation with management to ensure that they're having a work-life balance and that they're ensuring wellness in the workplace. And I do some of that on the side with, but it's not as built up yet. And so that's something I'm hoping to strengthen.
That sounds great. It's nice to have in your career those things that are always still coming, you know, that you're working towards and you're evolving. And I'm sure with COVID, the whole digital world of, you know, being an online counselor changed, and you know, it people are more used to now being on a Zoom.
Yeah.
Well, before I remember I was like, I'm not going on a video call. That's weird, you
Right?
know, but now it's, you know,
Second
every
nature.
second nature. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, some of the consultation pieces, you know, will be to be in person, but you know, with Zoom, it just opens up a whole world of people that need help, you know, and services.
That's amazing. And it's so nice to be able to reach people where they're at too. You know, you don't have
Yes.
to, some people might not be able to go out the door that day, you know,
Right,
but they can still
exactly.
talk to somebody. So that's amazing, and that's important what you do. And actually we've come to the end of our podcast, so it's short
Oh,
and sweet. I know.
yeah.
So we're going to go into our rapid fire questions, and I'm going to let Jamie start that off with you.
All right. So first question for you, who is your hero?
Many people, but I would say specifically my mom. She endured a lot. I don't know if that's what I put on the thing, but She endured a lot of things in her life and overcame them and persevered no matter what.
Oh, I love that. And then what is your biggest fear?
Falling. Falling and failing, but I'd say falling.
Totally, especially when it's wet out.
Yeah. Or yeah, falling from heights, not like falling on the ground. Oh, gosh, but like, yeah. So like, yeah, heights. I guess heights and then falling after you're high up.
I will say the older I get, the more afraid of falling. I am getting any height, I'm just this height. Okay, and then Christina, the last question for you. What was your first job?
I was a food server at a retirement home.
Nice.
Yeah, full circle. That.
It's kind of full circle, you yeah. know? I mean, now you're serving up knowledge and advice and helpful, yeah. you know, self-care and all of that. But it's neat when it kind of becomes full circle in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Christina, for taking a minute with us today. For the listeners, can you tell them how they can learn more about Calibri? Is that, am I saying that right?
Calibri?
Calibri counseling.
Yeah, you can go on to my website, which is calibricounselingconsulting.com. I also have an Instagram page, Calibri_counseling, I believe. And you can go on there and learn more about what I do. Again, I don't just do therapy, but I also do consultations and supervision.
And tell us also, because I was on the website earlier, and Calibri, I'm going to say it wrong. So you're going to say it again, and then you're going to tell me what that means, where you got that name.
Yeah, so Calibri means hummingbird in Spanish, French, Latin, and Italian. And the reason why I chose it was my grandmother was a social worker and a therapist, and hummingbirds were her favorite bird.
Ah, oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Sponsored by Pilera Health, guiding your way to wellness since 1966. The mission of Pilera Health is to provide accessible, compassionate, holistic healthcare that strengthens our community. For more information, call 928-445-5211.
Thank you for listening to Empowering Women, Got a Minute? We hope you tune in next week. And you can check out any of our episodes at PrescottWomanMagazine.com. Talk to you later.